Well, it is great to be with you here tonight. I wanted to make a, sorry, Rusty. If Pam was going to have to come up here and do this thing with me, I thought she ought to get a little bit of press, you know, beforehand. That's all right. I do want to make a couple introductions because we're really about friends and family. We're together. Boy, we got a guy wearing K-State right in the front row. I saw you drive in today, and I was like, he's got to be going to the president's conference. I'm going to end up looking at him. We lived in Lawrence, Kansas, for a while, and I don't want to talk. Yeah, I don't want to talk about what happened on Monday. But you do. Do you want to come up and talk about it? Hi, Kurt. A few things. One is in your little notebook thing here, if you happen to look at page 13, it'll tell you a little bit about our friends Bruce and Billy. And because we're friends, they're really friends. They happen to be friends with one another. We have common friends together, and I'll tell you a little bit about Billy in a little bit here. So we don't need to tell all of their stuff, but it's worth reading if you want to be impressed. Members of the national leadership team that are here, and I know there's some of us. If you all would stand up, I'd like to introduce you all. That would be great. We got Mike Miller over here, who leads our business ministries. And you've met Rusty already, who leads all our field missions. And spouses. If spouses are here, you know, go ahead, Lonnie. Rusty and Lonnie Stevens, give me a hand. You know, they work hard. Carrie and Susan Humphreys. Carrie just came on as our chief operating officer a number of months ago. We're glad to have you here. I'll mention something about them. Bill and Sue Tell. Bill is my chief of staff, good friend, and you're going to hear from him on a couple evenings from now. And then Jim and Janine Young. And Jim heads up, he's our chief development officer. And why don't, while they're standing up, why don't the rest of the development staff, and I'm not going to go through and introduce everyone, but everyone else that's on the development team, go ahead and stand up. And you can see their faces. You know, these are, you know, our development department, advancement department. So if you see their faces, you can run from them during the weekend. Just kidding. But they're here to help get to know you. And we've got, you know, I did want to ask this question. How many people, is this the first time you've been to a president's conference? Raise your hands. Isn't that amazing? How many of you here, it's the first time that you've ever been to Glen Eyrie? You had a handful of those. Well, you know, as I was meeting different ones, I think there's a group of people here that have been here every year for about the last 20 years, I think. There's some of you that are here that I talked to a couple of people. It's like, yeah, we were here about 25 years ago, and now we're back. There's some people here that haven't, you know, been to a president's conference ever, and some that haven't been to the Glen, obviously. And we would just encourage you to get to know one another. Don't be shy. I was thinking in preparation for tonight, Rusty mentioned, we were on staff at a church and worked with kids for a long time. And I can remember is my buddy Jim Howie. Where's Jim? Hi, Jim. Jim probably will remember this. You can remind me. But, you know, when we worked with Jim, was in our youth group. I knew him since he was like a, you know, a brace-faced eighth grader, about 130 pounds that a good stiff Denver wind would just, you know, blow. And I got stories I could tell you about Jim. But I can remember back when we were doing youth ministry that I'd probably pray a prayer something like this. You know, I'd pray that all the distractions, that people would really be able to focus on what's going on here and leave all the distractions of life that are back there at home, to leave them back there at home. And I think maybe I did that because I somehow thought that my words were going to be really slick and they needed to really focus on what I had to say. And you know what I want to say tonight? I want to say two things. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak this weekend, and we've been praying that He'll speak to you. And the other thing I want to say is all those distractions and those things that you could think that you should leave at home, bring them here. Bring them with you. Bring them right here to the throne of grace. You may meet friends or you may make some acquaintances here this weekend that you ought to have those things right here, and you might want to even share them with someone that you get to know. Because we're trusting that this weekend God is going to work in your life. And that's really the whole reason we're here. We're trusting that God will do that. This is our family, and you know what I was just basically saying was, you know, the Navigators aren't an organization. We're a family of friends that love one another and walk in life together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see here our family. Our son Will is on the far right. He's 21, lives in Lincoln, Nebraska. Our daughter coming in from the right, Lauren, is 24, lives in Washington, D.C. And then Pam and I and our daughter, oldest daughter, Beth Ann, who's 27, and her husband, Eric, that lives in Denver. And we're family. The Navigators are about people. We're about relationships. And we'll talk a little bit about that there in a second.
He always does this. Doesn't he pull this photo out of nowhere?
Sure. Okay, I want to make sure it's off if you say something mean to me or something like that. Is that a great shot? That's a picture of Pam and I when we were at Texas Christian University. It's probably a couple years after we came to faith, or I came to faith. Pam was a believer when she showed up at TCU. I got plopped down right in the middle of a group of people that were following Jesus. A bunch of them were just freshmen in college. It's kind of crazy because I could almost get a little, you know, it's weird tonight because God's actually brought a number of those friends here. We've tried to recruit them the last couple of years. They haven't come, and they all showed up at the same time. And actually, Bill Arnold, who you saw get up here and show us some of his talent, he was right down the hall, lived with a guy named Rusty. There was a group of guys from Minnesota, Bill being one of them. Kerry Humphreys was another one, by the way, that modeled the gospel in front of my life. And they loved me. I got two of my spiritual aunts that are here that were a couple years older that modeled Jesus in front of me. You met Billy. Billy was our songster. You know, he led music, he sang music, you know, wrote songs, and the first Christian songs that I ever heard, Billy was writing and singing in front of a group of, you know, 25 of us. Everyday people that the gospel was using in the life of a guy like me that didn't know a whole lot. Now, I had confidence that Jesus had died for my sins, you know, so I got to know that a little bit. And I knew I had eternal life, but you know, I didn't realize back there during college the power of the gospel for everyday life. There was still a lot of good news that I didn't know about. And isn't that true? When you think about those early years in your own lives, that we knew something, and it was good. But we really didn't know the power of the gospel. And I can think back then, I definitely wasn't experiencing it. Our goal this weekend is that your hope quotient would be increased because of what you hear regarding the gospel and the good news of Jesus and His kingdom. You know, we're going to have the opportunity to hear from Jerry Bridges. Jerry and Jane are up here in the front row. And Jerry's been a good friend over the years. And I never get tired of hearing Jerry speak. And you're going to be so encouraged. And Bill Tell is going to share one of the nights. And it's all around the gospel of the kingdom. Pam and I tonight, our comments this evening will serve as a foundation and an introduction for the weekend. and an introduction for what Jerry and Bill will be sharing in the next couple days. And all our themes are going to be around this this theme. All our points tonight, everything we're going to say is going to be around this theme of the hope that we have. The gospel of Jesus changes everything. We're going to be in 1 John, so if you've got your Bible, you can go grab your Bible, turn over there to 1 John. And in 1 John, you know, Apostle John's first letter to a group of believers in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And in all likelihood, it was sent to a group of people somewhere around the city of Ephesus. And John's purpose in the book of 1 John, which he tells us about later on in the letter, is that he's wanting to bring assurance and hope to these Christ followers there in the first century. In fact, he says it at the end of the letter, that he wrote this that they might know that they have eternal life. And certainly this weekend, we want you to know that you have eternal life. And we want you to know the depth of that eternal life and how it connects with life. And that's why I said keep the stuff that's in your life right here. Because the good news of the gospel will apply to it. So if you've got your Bibles there, first turn to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 28.
So I'm going to read 1 John 2:28 to chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to read in the Message. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for Him when He appears, ready to receive Him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when He arrives. Once you're convinced that He is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who He is or what He is up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see Him. And in seeing Him, become like Him. All of us who look forward to His coming, stay steady with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own.
So tonight, Pam and my words are going to come mainly from there in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And it's going to be wrapped around this idea, three gospel truths that give us great hope. Three gospel truths that give us great hope. Let me pray for us. Father, we come to You as men and women who are living everyday life, in families, in marriages, in work, different job situations. And we come here today with all that. And we come before You expectant. Because we know that You are a God who speaks by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're already amazed at the good news. We're amazed at Your gospel. But we'll wait with expectation for what You're going to say this weekend and this evening. So we pray, Lord, that the words of Pam and my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So three gospel truths that give us great hope. Here's the 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3 in the NIV. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
So the first gospel truth that gives us hope is that we are redeemed as God's children. This is the past work, what God has already done in the life of us as believers. The first part of 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God." This is a statement, a fact made by John to the believers there to give them hope in their newfound salvation and hope in the love that the Father has for them. This acknowledgement of our present state as God's children enables us to say that our future state will be even much more wonderful. And we'll kind of continue on with that theme as we talk about that through the evening. But because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the indwelling Spirit, we are children of God. How would children of a heavenly Father act? You might remember back in Jesus' day where children were often overlooked. There was not a lot of attention paid to children. But we know that that was different for Jesus, that Jesus drew children in. And we can be assured that that as we are God's children, that He will also be drawing us in close to Him. And that He will have the same attention for us that He had for the little children around Him. So what are healthy, fully loved children like? You might think of your own kids, your grandkids, maybe your nieces and nephews. Some of the characteristics that come to mind, and I'm kind of thinking of children who maybe their little spirits haven't been wounded yet, children that you know that you're around. I think of the characteristics of kids being curious, and they're rambunctious. They're accepting, but they can only be themselves. They're hope-filled and exuberant, and you probably have your own list going on in your head. We were recently at a wedding. There was a lot of us in the crowd. It was a especially joyous occasion for the coming together of this couple, the journey that they were on, and here we were sitting at their wedding day. Everyone was really excited to be there. And so everybody was quite chatty, you know, waiting for everything to start, and we were quickly hushed as the music to Polka Bells, Canon and D came on, and the back doors of the church were open. And first out came this little ring bearer. And he made his way slowly down the aisle, you know, kind of looking up at us all, trying to figure out what's going on. Another little boy in the audience sees him and goes, "Yay!" and we all laugh like that. We go, "Well, that is great." And so then, of course, the bridesmaids come down. And then as the bride comes to the back, you know, and the big doors are open, and there she stands in her, you know, beautiful white gown, the little boy again yells, "Yay!" And as she makes her way down the aisle, he continues, "Yay!" Like two or three times, "Yay!" till she makes it down the front. And that little boy, he was expressing what we were all thinking and feeling, right, that we couldn't do, but as a child, he was able to do. Another characteristic of love's children is that they're drawn to their daddies. I'm thinking of some times when our kids were younger. Doug did quite a bit of traveling, and there was always this anticipation waiting for Dad to come home. Now, it was the good kind of anticipation, not the wait till your dad gets home type thing. So they were anxious for him to arrive, and they would often draw pictures. We'd put them up on the kitchen wall. Some of you have probably done that, or if you have so many that goes into the garage, right out the door. So they'd draw pictures for him on his to welcome him home. They would there'd be little fingerprints and nose prints on the front door as they'd be looking through the glass, peering for his arrival. And it was always just an adventure for them to wait for him to come home. And of course, he always had a few little gifts when he came home as well. So that was helpful. But it was fun to see the reunion and excitement. Well, in Hebrews 4:15, it speaks of our access to God. In the same way as Doug had the kids' full attention when he arrived home. And as they were bold in their love for him, that's what this scripture tells us, as we have our access to God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of the work of Christ on the cross, we too have access to the one true God, our Heavenly Father, and we can boldly go before Him to receive forgiveness and help. So the first gospel truth that gives us hope We are redeemed as God's children, which allows us to live with freedom, hope-filled exuberance, and confidence to approach Him.
The second gospel truth that gives us hope here from 1 John chapter 3 is that we will reflect Him as God's mirrors. Where our redemption as God's children is the past work, what God's already done in our life, this reflecting Him as God's mirrors is the present work of God. It's what He's continuing to do in our lives. There in 1 John 3:2 it says, "We shall be like Him." You can go all the way back to the garden to see this truth. You know, in your Bibles, go ahead and take a minute and flip over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This one's not going to come up on the screen, by the way. We get kind of used to that these days, don't we? This is a Navigator conference. You've got to actually feel your Bible every once in a while, okay? Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, we begin to see this second gospel truth all the way back in Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So here we see all the way back in Genesis that we were made to reflect the character of God. This is our daughter Lauren. She's got bigger shoes on for some reason than fitter feet. I can remember one time coming into our bedroom and just came walking in, and there was Lauren kind of in the closet by a mirror with Pam's, you know, some kind of thing around her neck, with shoes on, with all this stuff, you know, on in the mirror, mimicking Pam.
Are you sure?
I don't know who that was supposed to look like. Yeah, mimicking Pam. She had a longing to be like her mom. You know, and all of us have that same kind of longing to be like somebody. And you know, early on, it's like our parents. And I think that's because it's hardwired in us to want to be like our parents. Because we were destined to be like our Heavenly Father. We were destined to have that be our image. And God is at work to do that in our lives. A number of years later, after this picture was taken, I can remember we were in Lawrence, Kansas. We were launching this new ministry. We had two young guys that were out of school living in our basement. The ministry office was in our basement. Our three kids were 6 years and younger. And we were going crazy. One of those nights when we had a group of people coming over for dinner, the kids weren't behaving quite like we would like them to have behaved. Things were really stressed out, and Pam and I got sideways with one another. I mean, we were not relating real well. I know none of you can ever understand that ever happening. And the kids were doing stuff, and I was not responding well. I was on them. I was yelling at them. I was impatient. You know, and here we are having a ministry activity at our house in, you know, an hour. And I remember going upstairs to the bedroom, kind of get ready, and I looked in the mirror. And as I looked in the mirror, I said to myself, "You're being all the things that you said you would never be, and doing all the things that you said you'd never do." And I can remember thinking this, does the spiritual life really work? Remember I said back at TCU, I understood the gospel, I understood I had eternal life, I understood that. But at that point, I wasn't experiencing the gospel. I wasn't experiencing the good news, was I? I needed to learn that it wasn't something that I could make happen, but is something that God is committed to make happen in our lives. You see, because of God's work in us through the gospel, we will increasingly reflect Jesus. He's committed to that. He's committed to that to the extent that He will go to any extent to have that happen in our life. I love in the New Living Translation how it expresses 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. A great couple verses that express this idea of God increasingly causing us to reflect Him. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And all of us who have had that veil removed, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Now we're going to stop there on this point, because I know that Jerry on Sunday morning is going to be coming in with this passage, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say as you talk to us about this, Jerry. So the second gospel truth that gives us hope out of 1 John chapter 3 is that we will reflect Him as God's mirrors. The third gospel truth that gives us hope is the revelation of Christ. Face to face, we will see Him and become like Him. This is the future hope that we have in the gospel. There in 1 John 3:2 it says, "But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We can have hope and confidence that in the future, God is going to complete His work. You know, while there will be days when we'll get discouraged that He's not completing it right now, there may be days where we get discouraged that He's not completing it in our spouse, or days that that He's not completing it in our kids. But we can rest assured that there is going to be a day where He is going to complete it, and we're going to come face to face with Him, and we're going to be like Him. It's something that He's committed to.
It's rather embarrassing now, but I'll admit this to you. When Amy Grant was really big in the Christian music world many years ago, I always thought I wanted to be like her. I thought, what is not to like about being on stage, traveling, and imagining the life I thought she had? So I dreamed of being her. And I just think it's interesting how we often spend a lot of our time wishing that we were someone else. I also remember when we were first coming on Navigator staff, we were meeting a bunch of new people, awesome people. We were meeting a lot of strong women, some great women. And, many of them were gifted Bible teachers. They were, great homeschool moms. They were attractive leaders. Some of them were even authors of books. But, wow, what a group. I kept comparing myself, trying to figure out who I could be like. I had such a desire to be something better than I was. But that didn't work too well. And I needed to realize that God was in the process of making me better, and that in one day that He would complete that work in me. So the third gospel truth is that when Christ returns, He will be revealed fully to us, and there will be a great reunion. We will see Him as He is, which will be awesome, and we will be like Him. At that moment, we will have become the one-of-a-kind, fearfully and wonderfully made creation of God, fully reflecting Him and more fully glorifying Him. What a day that'll be.
You know, in America, or Western world, our access to medicine, to gyms, spas, plastic surgery, toys, all kinds of recreation, keeps our need for heaven from being very present, doesn't it? We don't hear a whole lot about heaven in sermons very often. By the time that we get to this stage in life sometimes, that many of us are in, we begin to get brought back down to earth. that reality begins to set in, the reality that never ceased to be true, right? Now we just covered it up in different ways. And we're very mortal. And while sometimes in life we can put hope in trying to be somebody, hope is really found in this wonderful truth that we know that when He appears, that we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, when we embrace that hope, when we embrace that truth, that powerful truth, that we could be like Him, we'll cease wanting to be, you know, like, you know, LeBron James, or, you know, not that that would ever become, you know, not quite, you know, Matt Damon, Oprah Winfrey, or Sandra Bullock, or something, or wishing our spouses would be someone like that, or, you know, we'll quit thinking that way, because we'll know that we've got a greater hope. That is the truth of the gospel. That someday, that there's a day coming where we'll see Him face to face. And that'll be better. You know, better than any personal makeover. And we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be like Him. In a minute here, we're going to look at a video that a friend put together that has a bunch of clips from the movie Seabiscuit. How many people have ever seen the movie Seabiscuit? Okay, a good number of you. Some of you haven't. Well, it's a great story of redemption. And if you take the filter of the grace of God as you watch this and watch some of these clips that are in this thing, what you'll see is it's a story of a jockey who was too big, whose impoverished parents had to kind of give him over to this racetrack owner who was the antithesis of grace in the gospel, by the way. You'll see a little bit of that. It's a story of a businessman whose son dies in a tragic accident, and his grief-stricken wife leaves him, and he's reduced to the shell of the man that he was. It's a story of a trainer who's considered a crackpot, but the reality is just another man that was broken by the Great Depression. It's a story of a horse that was too small, and all his owners thought that he was worthless. Well, it's interesting. That horse ends up being the force that brings these three men together, and they experience unmerited favor and get a second chance. So watch this clip, and I'll come back up here. And a great picture of the grace of God. You know, I guess you could sum up the message of the gospel that He doesn't throw a whole life away just because it's banged up a little bit. And, you know, tonight and this weekend, we all come as banged up people. And apart from the grace of God, we'd stay banged up. But His grace teaches us three things. His grace teaches us that we're redeemed as God's children. Teaches us that He is in the work of causing us to reflect Him as God's mirrors. And the gospel truth that gives us hope, the third one, is that that Christ will be revealed at the end of time when we see Him face to face. So Pam and I just invite you, as you come this weekend, to bring all that you are before the throne of grace. Before this God, the hand of kindness. Do you love that picture right there? Drawing us. That He's drawing us tonight. He's drawing us this weekend. Pam and I have been praying that He would draw each of us, and we're coming here expectant for what He's going to say to us on some things that we've brought. And by the way, if we haven't gotten a chance to meet you, be sure to say hi to us this weekend. We want to meet you. If you're new here, we haven't had a chance to meet you. And be sure to say hi to the other NLT members. And like I said, let's be believing God that there's a reason He's got each of us here. And it might be because He's going to work in our lives through somebody else. And it might be that He's going to use us in someone else's life. Let's pray. I'm going to pray right along with the prayer of Paul that he prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. And Lord, we We just come before you, all that we are, and we plead before you that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you better. And we pray also that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That same power that's like the working of the strength that you exerted when you raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. And so, Lord, this weekend we come expectant for what you're going to do. And even right now we pause and we think about some of the things that we could have left home but we brought with us to bring before your throne. And right now, Lord, as we think about that relationship, that job situation, that challenge, it might be the challenge of one of our kids, we come expectantly for what you're going to do and what you're going to say because of your gospel. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.